Chapter 1. In a sea of chatter and movement, silence and stillness caught Archer Portmain's attention. The ladies at the front of the shadowed box might have been any pretty pair enjoying a night at the orchestra, the elder exhibiting the fashionable attire of a young matron of means. The younger woman held Archer's focus when he ought to have been scanning the other boxes for his quarry. She captured his attention by not craning her neck or leaning over the railing, but rather by slow and quiet study of the glittering, laughing, bejewelled throng. Archer had the niggling sense he'd seen her before, in a different setting. He might forget the occasional face, but he did not forget the graceful turn of a woman's bare shoulders or a chin that shaded toward determined but stopped short of stubborn. Her profile was classic, her brown hair tidily coiled at her nape, her cream dress the very next thing to plain. She was quietly lovely, and yet everything about her begged to be passed over at a glance, everything except for her stillness and the way she held her own counsel in a venue where talking loudly and cleverly was more a part of the programme than the music. If the lady could chatter a bit while she studied the audience, or send the occasional flirtatious glance to a random lucky swain below, she might make a passable spy, which notion would insult any proper lady mightily. Archer left off watching the quiet young woman, lest even lurking at the back of this box he'd be spotted by those whose paths he'd rather not cross. He shrank closer to the velvet curtains, glad for whatever zephyr had doused the lights of the nearest chandelier. A man in pursuit ought always to be alert for pursuers, and avoid even so fascinating a distraction as a pretty young woman's silence. "Did you know Valentine dedicated the final work on the programme to you?" Amid the hum and bustle of the orchestra tuning up and the audience gossiping and greeting one another, Morgan James was barely able to discern her sister's soft words. "What young lady wouldn't want the Wyndham musical genius dedicating a work to her? Especially a young lady who owed the recovery of her hearing to the selfsame musician." Anna, Countess of Westhaven, studied her programme by the limited light of the theatre's chandeliers, though the nearest one had been darkened by some wayward breeze.
"You are over Valentine, aren't you? Please say you are."
"I am."
To say the words honestly was a relief, a weight winging aloft like the ascending scale of a flute warming up.
"Valentine Wyndham was the first gentleman I met who behaved like a gentleman, and he was such a wonderful contrast to our late brother."
Why had she not realised these things before?
"He is obsessed with his music, though, enthralled with it, and Ellen understands this about him. I was alone in my own silent world for so long, I cannot fathom seeking an isolated existence on purpose, regardless of how much beautiful sound I could fill it with."
"You are very sensible, sister. Westhaven said I was fretting for nothing."
Anna's husband often made confident pronouncements about his family, and he was right an aggravating percentage of the time.
"I consider Valentine a dear friend, and am certain he holds me in the same regard. The last piece is a piano sonata. I look forward to hearing it."
She would also look forward to having the evening over, to being alone in the commodious chambers Westhaven's family provided her, where, oddly enough, she'd begun to enjoy the silence and solitude.
"I'm going to fetch Westhaven from the corridor."
Anna rose gracefully.
"He gets caught up by his father's cronies from the Lords, and is too polite to leave them talking to themselves, which is their proper fate, on what ought to be a social outing."
The pretty dark-haired countess bustled out of the box, after rescue some old curmudgeon from Lord Westhaven's endless fascination with what he called economics, leaving Morgan to wonder at her own proper fate. Spinsterhood loomed close at hand, and likely a return of deafness not long after that. The physician had warned her, after all.